Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, and thank you, Isaiah, to do each and every morning. Welcome to my growing listening audience to our show here on Home-Based Business 101. Hey, we've had an exciting week, and we've had quite a few people that have tuned in this week as we've been celebrating the life of good friend, comrade, and colleague, Brother George Sabir. And we want to just thank everyone that has tuned in to the show this week as we've been going over his life and sharing from his book, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. Yes, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. And we're going to continue that today and close this portion of what I want to cover with George today from Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. And next week we'll be getting into Black Folks' Guide to Business Success, Brother George Sabir. So let's get into the book on today. We want to get through as much stuff as we can on chapter Taking Care of Serious Business and Action Plan. Okay. Taking care of serious business. Taking care of serious business. The first three chapters of this volume, as George said, has hopefully given you a lot to think about in terms of understanding your relationship to wealth. They've tried to answer three fundamental questions that he talks about in the first part of the book. What is wealth and how is it defined? What did the people who have money do to get it? And three, what's holding us Black folks from getting our share of the wealth? Okay, so when we take care of serious business, we need to understand, you know, what is holding us Black folks from getting wealth? And answering these three basic questions, a lot of principles and philosophical points of view were touched upon. To quickly review my points of view regarding fortune building is as follows. George says, I believe that racism is one hell of a consideration handicap for Black folks who are making money in America, but I do not believe it can stop the majority of Black folks who are determined to make their fortunes. He also says, I believe that everyone, Black and white, has to operate in an incredible complex system of internal and external forces which influence our capacity to make money. Since no one can control the external forces, a person should concentrate on controlling the internal forces relating to oneself. The greater you can control the internal factors, the more effective you can have, the more effect you can have on the outside world. Number three, that attitude is the single most important element in assisting or restraining a person from making his or her fortune. Negative attitudes are rather natural in the Black community for obvious reasons, but there are means for Black fortune builders to overcome these attitudes. Next, there are definite methods to building fortune as there are methods of staying in poverty. I believe that once a person understands these two set of principles, they can unravel the mystery of money and understand that there is no mystique or magic to making money. The final point that has been hit upon in several different ways is extreme importance to the use of time. Time is the most limited asset. Once you waste away big chunks of time, it is lost forever. In this life, you most likely will run out of time before you run out of money. Okay, so, I mean, again, he talks about, you know, time. That's one of the things that I tell people, you know, people say, well, like right now, we're sharing with people how to get involved in home-based business as we close out this year and get a tax write-off and a tax break. And there's people that are saying, well, I'll do it next year. Like you guarantee next year, or this I'll do it next year. And tell them the difference in waiting, could cause you to have a tremendous loss. So time, George is saying, is the very, very important element when dealing with getting yourself positioned to take advantage of serious business when it comes time is a key factor, a key element. And he said, you'll run out of time before you run out of money. So you want to make sure that you deal with that time element. Next is understanding the basics. Okay, the basic attitude. He said, as I said before, attitude will probably be the single most important factor of your fortune building plans. What's the proper attitude that one needs to make it through all of these changes one has to go through to achieve success? And so here's some basics. You know, make up your mind that you're going to find out pretty quick what you want out of life. Most of us don't know what we want out of life, so it makes it a lot easier for us to accept all the BS that people throw our way. This must change. You know, you have to know what you want out of life. You know, we've talked about this a lot of times on this show, you know, that knowing what you want. Once you know what you want, then you can figure out how to get it. But if you don't know what you want, you'll never figure out how to get it because you don't know what you want. You know, so you got to figure out what you want and develop a goal around how to get what you want. Next is adapt the attitude that you are building something that will last till after you're gone. In other words, we always say a good man or woman leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Think about building something that's going to last beyond you. See, then you'll work and you'll have an attitude about what it is you're doing, and it'll be worth it. So that's important. Next is adapt the attitude that life is a numbers game. Ooh, this is a biggie one right here. You know, I go over this so often with people in our business about the numbers. The numbers. It's like right now we got people working on a contest to get three new business partners. And I said, well, in order to get three new business partners, you're going to probably have to present this at least 30 new people that you get on what we call a test drive presentation. I said, if you get 30 people in front of a presentation, out of that 30, we'll find three. See, some people think, well, you know, I need three, I'll talk to only three. That would be nice. That would be ideal if it worked that way, but life is a numbers game. You know, for about every 10 person that you talk to, you'll find one serious person. 10%. That's about what it is. So it's important that you understand the numbers. Next, you want to adapt an attitude of persuasive discussion. This is an old saying that nothing happens until there's a sale. You may or may not believe that business and dollar bill is tied to everything. I don't know, but you will have to admit that all of us from time to time engage in the art of persuasive discussion. Persuasive discussion is conversation where one party is trying to convince another party of a fact, idea, product, which the listening party is slow, hesitant, or resistant in accepting. Okay, so again, you're going to have to persuade people to see your point of view. You're going to have to persuade people to, you know, want to deal with your product. So this is very, very important in terms of learning how the art of persuasion. That's so key to being able to position yourself in a position to take care of serious business. Hold on 1 second here. I got a sneeze. Hold on. Education, research. Yeah. You need to make sure you've done your homework. Make sure you've done your homework. So building a business, taking care of serious business. There's homework involved. You need to make sure you've done yours, that you've taken care of your homework. You've gotten your homework out of the way, your research. And when you do that, then you want to familiarize yourself with this opportunity. And familiarize yourself with business opportunity. How does your opportunity work, or how does the opportunity that you're interested in work? Also, familiarize yourself with business opportunity section in the newspaper. Well, nowadays, George said newspaper back then, but nowadays you can go on the internet and look up a lot of different business opportunities to know where you want to go and what you want to do in terms of business. Next, you want to, besides familiarize yourself with business opportunities, are you going to need partners? And if so, how do you go about searching to find the type of partners or investors or people with venture capital to help you with your business? So just taking care of serious business means, you know, also doing that and making sure what you're working towards making happen. Next you want to be is make sure you know how to budget your money. That's right, budget your money. I happen to meet a gentleman who was one of my mentors in the business that I'm in, and he talks about how he lives off of one-third of his money and saves the other two-thirds, so that if we ever hit a financial hard time, that basically if he never got another dollar, he got 3 years to find ways to recoup without changing his current lifestyle. He said if he changed his current lifestyle, if we hit hard times, it would take him about 10 to 20 years before he would be totally broke. Needless to say, he is a millionaire also. But he lives below his needs. So budgeting is very, very important, knowing how to save your money. And budget. Know what you want and if possible, why. George talked about that earlier. He said, you got to know what you why you want what you want. Just can't be, I want it because I want it. Why do you want it? Avoid retail prices. See, find a way to get stuff wholesale. And that's so key. You know, again, we offer people a shopping mall where you can basically get stuff and get paid when you shop. That's why I don't understand when some people tell me at times what we offer. You know, I'm not interested in that. And you keep paying retail for everything. And here, right here in 1980, George said avoid retail prices. Shop out of season. Yep, shop out of season. That's when you're going to find things cheaper. And, you know, this was back in 1980. And I would think I would say nowadays is shop online. Shop online. Next, George talks about everything doesn't have to be brand new. Now, you know, this is very interesting here. You know, I know a couple of people who are pretty well off, and they still buy clothes from the thrift store. You wouldn't know they were from the thrift store unless, you know, I mean, I happened to see them in the thrift store one day. And I said, what you doing in the thrift store? You make good money. They say, just because you make good money don't mean you can't shop in the thrift store. He said, how do you think I get to keep my money? And I got their point, you know, because last year I went to the thrift store. I got 100, what's this coat sell for? Yeah, coat sold for in Macy's, $175, another coat that I like. I found that coat in the thrift store. Someone had took one and in great condition. Found a coat in the thrift store and got it for $10. And it was in mint condition. Ain't that amazing? So everything doesn't have to be brand new. Learn to use auctions. Now, I had a friend in New Orleans that taught me how to buy homes on auctions. A friend here in Rocky Mount, the house that he's living in, he got it on the auction for $11,000. House has a value of, I think it was a value of like about $95,000. He got it on auction for $11,000. And that's $95,000 in Rocky Mount prices, which in Baltimore, D.C. area, that's close to about $195,000, $200,000 home. $11,000 on the auction. So again, George talked about learning how to use auctions. Pay with cash, buy in bulk, and create competition. I learned this lesson when a friend of mine went to buy a car one time. He went to buy a car, and because he was offering cash, he got the car way, way below the sticker price. Told him, you ain't go through no finance, you ain't going to go through that. I want that car right there. This is how much I got. And, you know, this was before the days of people doing drugs and all kind of other stuff. Cause I remember, you know, the guy looked at him kind of funny. One of my mentor's friends, Bill Warren, he had all of the money in a briefcase. And the guy asked him, what do you do? You know, he told him what we do. He was in A.L. Williams at the time, but his whole point was he bought his Mercedes with cash. He had no car note. Walked in and bought a Mercedes with cash. The guy just like, look, you know, and he says, I want that car. And he says, hey, you ain't got to worry about no financing, nothing like that. So it's important, you know, that as George talked about, some of the things you can do in terms of taking care of serious business. And a couple more points I want to cover in this chapter and then move into the action plan and wrap up the series on Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. And, and for you to be able to, you know, search for the book or you can send us a text and we'll try to help you with finding a copy of the book. One of the things he talks about is developing your credit. And improving your credit. This is so important. A friend of mine in New Orleans shared with me, you know, how he increased his credit. And what that did was, once he increased his credit, he cleaned up his credit and increased his credit, there were certain transactions and deals that he wanted to make. And because he had a certain credit standing, he could just sign off on stuff. So you know, we want to improve our credit. And the person, again, my friend, he said, you know, he was dealing with this whole thing of his credit and getting his credit together was that he did it for the purpose of being able to help him obtain property that he needed for business purposes and then move that property and get what he wanted to get done with it and be able to make more money. The next thing that George talks about in terms of taking care of serious business is how to save on your taxes. And, you know, we've talked about that numerous times here on this show, and so I'm not going to, repeat that. Go ahead and dive into this last piece that I want to cover, the action plan, and wrap up. the series on Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. But we see, as he talks about taking care of serious business, you know, getting that credit report together, and as he said, you know, how to save on your taxes. So you definitely want to make sure, again, he was telling people that back in 1980. I'm still telling people that here in the year 2012, that we create transition in 2013. Next is the action plan. He says, the action plan. He says, in this book, I bombarded you with a lot of information. This plan is designed to tell you how and where to start. First is self-assessment. Self-assessment. You know, self-assessment is really a continuous process, not that any person who takes their life seriously does spend time over the course of a year assessing where they are and how they got there. Self-assessment in this plan, however, is somewhat different because it is oriented towards money. It has to be if you're going to take and make any progress. So he says, the most important single question to ask in the assessment area is, how can I make more money? And so you need to ask yourself, how can I legally, ethically, and morally make more money? One thing you can do is double up your work efforts. Thinking and assessing are important, but nothing really changes until the level of work and product or work changes. It will be a requirement for quite a while for you to double the normal work effort you are probably used to. This means a minimum of 70, but more than likely 80 hours of weekly work that you actually get paid for. This may be blowing your mind right now, but it's the most important single step of the whole plan because it makes so many other things possible. In other words, he's talking about, you know, when you double your work effort, you need, you know, to cut certain things out, like television and other stuff. So just like I tell people in this business, if they're working a job, okay, get off from work. I need you to put in, get off from work. Get off at 5, hey, grab a little something to eat. And from 6 to 10, let's roll up your sleeves and let's go to work. And I said, you're going to do that for about a year or two. And then once you get to a certain point, you won't have to do it no more. So you got to do and sacrifice and do what others won't do for a short period of time so you can live like others don't live for the rest of your time. See? It's just like he talks about, George talks about, you know, when these entertainers, when they do concerts, the show starts at 8 p.m. and ends at midnight or later. Food, interviews, and BS end at 4 a.m. They must then get up and catch a plane somewhere at 8 a.m. They change place, they have a 3-hour wait in the terminal, and they rob the next place at 3 p.m. The sound check at the concert is at 4 p.m. They take a nap until 8 p.m. and show. Multiply that by a 3-month tour, and you can see the kind of dues that the entertainers pay and make. To sum it up, many people work 80 hours a week or more. The bar owner who serves you lunch at noon is washing glasses at 3 a.m. after he closes up. The new McDonald's owner watches the girl serve your egg McMuffin at 7 a.m. and is still making french fries at midnight. A lot of people work 80 hours or more, the benefit of the 80-hour week. Now with the Internet, you can cut some of that down, but the basic thing he's talking about is you got to put in the time. You got to put in the time. You want to also, you also want to, as he talked about in terms of, you know, your action plan, improving that credit piece, nest egg development. In order to start any kind of business or investment program, you need a savings nest egg or investment capital. So you need to look at how you're going to save. You can do like if people do in church, tie 10% to your business. You know, 10% to your business and making sure that you do that. Next is self-education. We hear we talk about personal development all of the time. Personal development is something that does not end. It's an ongoing process. And as you did, when I did the show on personal development with John Maslow, we talked about it's intentional. You know, self-education, personal development is something that you have to do all of the time. And so when you're working on putting this action plan together, the action plan is designed to hurry through all of the necessary steps of wealth and independence. A short summary here will go over the basics. The determined black person gets sick and tired of being poor and powerless and decides to do something about it. They spend days, maybe months, thinking, assessing, talking, reading, deciding exactly what they want and intend to do. Two, they take a second job, working long hours, saving the money that doesn't pay the essential living expenses or old bills. Or basically we say, you know, in this business, we help you get a plan B. You know, you got your regular job, get involved in our business as a plan B so that you can replace that plan A, that 40-40-40 plan, you know, working 40 hours a week for 40 years to retire for 40% of what you made. Three, they use a double income situation to improve their credit standing and to buy a home that includes tenants to help pay the bills and provide tax deductions. Now, he said buy a home that includes tenants. Some rental properties. Four, they begin to read and study magazines and books and to gain useful information on business, real estate, taxes, and sales. Five, they make the step of reading about sales to actually selling a product they find either important or exciting. They take their lumps and their bruises, their profits, their losses, and lessons along the way. Six, they take an active stand on real estate development and purchase and begin buying and improving a string of rented houses. They learn that their net worth or the value of their collateral will greatly determine what kind of business they can go into because it will determine how much they can borrow. After the years of movement, learning, saving, investing, and selling, they enter into their chosen business knowing that they are prepared and ready for success. And number 8, they repeat all the above process in one form or another because they're ambitious, confident, prepared to do more than one thing at a time, multiple streams of income. The next chapter won't have time to really get into it, but, you know, basically is that George had a thing where he talked about special note to black women, and he saw times changing, and he saw as times was changing that, you know, there would become great opportunities for African-American women in the world of business. I mean, he was so much on point with that. The majority of people that involved in my network marketing business on my team, the majority are females, African-American females. And, you know, and George just saw that the wave of change that was coming is the wave of change of African-American women getting involved in the world of business. And that he said we were going to see a boom in this. We will see a boom in this, and we tremendously have seen a tremendous growth boom in the fact of more and more African-American women are getting involved in business, and that's really, really good. And so we're really proud of, you know, Brother George for the information that he put out in his book, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. And, you know, hey, find your way to get a copy of the book. If you got any questions, comments, or concerns, or things you want to know, then, you know, hey, send us a text to 252-406-0074, and, you know, hey, we'd be more than willing to get that information to you. Next week, we will be going through Brother George's book, Black Folks' Guide to Black Folks' Guide to Business Success. We'll be going through that tomorrow, and also Monday. Tomorrow, we will be doing our show, our Saturday show, Your Opportunity is YTB, and we're going to dedicate that show tomorrow to Ms. Valerie Patterson, another black woman, proud black woman who just recently transitioned, also became an ancestor, and, you know, was a colleague of mine in YTB business, and very inspired and positive person. Had a homecoming service yesterday in Washington, D.C., and again, the kind of company that we are. The founder of our company came to our homecoming service, and, you know, he just recently went to someone else's up in Detroit, Michigan area not too long ago, but that's the kind of company that we're in, where we are really an extended family. Which is a good thing to be involved in. We're not just business for the sake of business. And, you know, we're looking for business partners. Also, we'll share with you some information about a project and a program that George inspired me to continue to develop that he was working on, and that program is called the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. If you go to movements, www.movementsunlimited.wibbly, WEEBLY.com. You can find information about the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. I'll repeat that website again. That's www.movements, M-O-V like Victor, M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T-S, Movements Unlimited, all one word, U-N-L-I-M-I-T-E-D, .wibbly, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. And you can see information on the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. And, hey, we just really would like, you know, let people know about that, reach out, and give us some support. So, hey, we want to thank you for tuning in this week as we covered much as we could of Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America by George Shapiro, which was written in 1980. And he had a quote on the back of the book. He said, "In your struggle out of poverty and powerlessness, never forget the golden rule. He who has the gold rules." He says, "In your struggle out of poverty and powerlessness, never forget the golden rule. He who has the goal rules." This last chapter that he talked about before, gave out information, motivation, and programming. information in the book. He had a chapter called Work for Your Damn Self, Ideas on Business. All right, Brother George, as we always do, you know, we want to offer our libation to Brother George, who, you know, stepped into the realm of ancestor. We say, Si fi ina ote ma baba we usi. All praise is due to the black ancestors. Thank you, Brother George, for your life, for your contributions, and we will pick back up on your work again Monday morning with Black Folks Guide to Business Success. Hey, God willing, the creek don't rise. Catch me tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. as we talk about your opportunity is YTB, and we will do a special tribute to Miss Valerie Patterson. Until next time, take care. Tutai now.